Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. So here's what we have for you this hour. We'll start by talking with Army vet Steve Prince about helping hurting vets. Then we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and we'll learn about the National Military Fraternity. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce Army vet Steve Prince. He's the director of Warriors Set Free. We've known each other for a long time, quite a while. We met when he was teaching ROTC at a local university. So welcome to the show, Steve. It's been a while.
Thanks, Danny. Good to reconnect with you.
Steve, start by telling us about your time in Mother Army. When did you join? Why? What'd you do?
I joined in February of 1990 for a little bit of discipline and college money. And 5 months later, right around there, Iraq invaded Kuwait while I was in basic training. So I went straight to Desert Shield, Desert Storm, came home, and then turned 19. So I had enlisted for 2 years just for some college money. 25 years and 10 years later, the Army said, hey, it's probably about time you hang it up. So ended up with 5 years active duty, 2 deployments, and the rest was mostly guard and reserve time. And I say joining the Army was the best mistake I ever made.
Hey, I understand what you're saying. Were you basically an infantryman, or did that vary based on where you were in the guard and reserve?
I was mostly on active duty. I was air defense. So I signed up, I enlisted as a Stinger gunner, and then got commissioned as an air defense officer. But in the guard, I was in all kinds of units, infantry, brigade, MP, group, transportation company, engineer company. I touched all the bases in the guard and reserve, and then finished up as an instructor with ROTC, like you mentioned.
Tell us now about Warriors Set Free. How did it get started? How did you get involved? Where did all that come from?
Yeah, great story. And, you know, I believe God uses our pain to direct us to where he wants us to be. And so really, the roots of this started when I was 5 years old. My dad was an Air Force veteran, committed suicide. And I still remember the day where I was standing, what was said, what I saw. And that was a kind of an unresolved pain in my life. The trauma just had never been dealt with. So grew up going to church, you know, doing all the things, Sunday school, catechism, Sunday mornings, church camps, became a Christian, accepted Christ when I was like 8. I heard him say, if I wanted to go to heaven, I had to pray this prayer. If I wanted to go to hell, then don't worry about it. And I wanted heaven. So I got my salvation when I was 8, but still hadn't dealt with the pain of the trauma of my father's suicide. So through my time in the military, always stayed connected to the chaplain and felt led to do ministry when I was on active duty from 97 to 2000. I volunteered with Youth for Christ, and then I went on staff with Youth for Christ in 2000, where I met my current boss and probably the one man who's had the most impact on me in my life is Dean Vandermeer. Dean had been a part of Set Free Ministries that started with a prayer meeting where a Vietnam vet came in and said he had some unresolved issues. He had this box. You've probably heard people say, oh, you just put it in a box. Well, eventually that box leaks. So about 30 years ago, over a prayer meeting, they were just praying for Keith. And Keith kind of had a vision of this box just in his mind that God could deal with and pay for all the pain and sorrow in his box. So that was before I met Dean. Dean came into my life and things were going bad. My ministry wasn't going well. My marriage wasn't good. My finances sucked. I was circling the drain in every fashion. And Dean was my rock. He said, have you ever forgiven your dad? And I'm like, one, he doesn't deserve it. Two, I don't think it'll improve our relationship. And three, I don't know how to do what you're telling me to do. So he led me in a prayer. Lord, I choose to forgive my dad for abandoning me and my mom, my sister. Please heal my damaged emotions. And it changed everything for me. And he had shown me in Matthew 18, if you don't forgive others as you've been forgiven, and as Christians, we've been forgiven for everything, so we're required to forgive others. If you don't forgive the way God's forgiven you, then you will be tormented. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be tormented. And so Dean helping me through that pain really had even a physical change. Prior to that day, I couldn't say the words, my dad committed suicide, without crying. So when he led me in that prayer, I never cried harder. But afterwards, I felt great. I felt light. I felt a pain lifted off me. I wasn't carrying the burden of the past. And I'm like, why is this guy got this information and no one else does? So I latched on to Dean and stayed connected to his Bible study. In 2014, I was working on a government contract, which was coming to an end. And I went to that Bible study and said, hey, I'm looking for work. And they said, hey, we think we need to specifically focus on helping veterans. Initially, they were calling it the Wounded Warrior Project as a part of Set Free Ministries. I said, I think that name's taken. Let's find something else. So they came up with Warriors Set Free, a branch of Set Free Ministries. And it's a veteran-to-veteran ministry. It helps us. We understand each other. I've been fortunate enough to be the director for 8 years. And now we have 5 employees. We're in Michigan and Georgia, and we have a lot of friends in Texas as well. So with the issue of COVID, when everything went virtual, we were doing ministry through Zoom meetings, like a lot of people are getting things done. So there are no boundaries. And I just pray every day that God brings me one more veteran that I can encourage and teach some things that I learned in an effort to help them be free from the pain of their past. So our mission statement is Warriors Set Free guides veterans in building their faith, healing from the past, and winning life's battles.
Wow. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Steve Prince about Warriors Set Free. Steve, that's amazing, and I also know it's true. And the fact that you've got an organization that does this, and you're physically in 2 states, but as I understand it, you reach out to people all over the United States, all over the world. Am I right?
Absolutely. Mostly in the States. We have done some phone ministry with active service members who are stationed in other parts of the world. But yeah, we're always praying for one more. It took me a long time before I went and saw Hacksaw Ridge. But that guy is going back and praying, Lord, give me one more guy. Give me one more guy. And he was going onto the battlefield physically to save one more person. And I think even his commander. But we're praying the same thing spiritually. And pretty much everybody has something spiritually they need to deal with, regardless of what they believe. But the answer is Jesus, in my opinion. So a lot of organizations, anybody helping vets, I'm a huge fan of. But a lot of these veteran organizations, as we know, are focused on whatever their direct mission is, whether it's service dogs or football games or hunting trips. I love them all. Our process deals specifically with building your faith in Jesus Christ.
Okay. If I were a vet in that need and I contacted you, what would you do? What would I experience? I talk to someone?
Yes. Depending on the location, if someone's near where we can get to them, I always start out with a lunch. And I have a standing invitation. If you're a veteran, I'll buy you lunch. And I eat lunch almost every day. So there's a lot of opportunities for that. If it's someone further away, and we do have 2 staff members in Georgia and the Atlanta and Macon area, we'll meet up with you. We want to sit across the table from you and get to know you and hear your story and understand what's going on. And then we'll recommend what we can do to help. It's almost, it's ministry in its purest form, but it's almost like a business, to where when you're a business, you have a solution to a client's problem. And ours happens to be free and the most powerful thing out there. So we sit down, we listen to where you're at and what you got going on. You know, if your biggest problem is that you have a physical issue, that's not what we focus on. The VA, which a lot of veterans badmouth, but they're good at addressing the physical concerns. We address the spiritual concerns.
Okay. And I would suspect that in most cases, you are aware of success in that person's life, though that can be manifested in different ways, I guess.
Absolutely. And it's, we can't sit back and, go, well, we put you on this diet and you lost 10 pounds. So this isn't very measurable except from the testimonies. And one of the things that we do ask veterans to self-report is how angry are you? If you wake up on a scale of 1 to 10, if you wake up as a 7, you're an agent of destruction and you'll destroy everything and everyone in your path. And some veterans I've worked with have even said it's, anger's not a strong enough word. I have rage. And I said, okay, well, what do we know about anger and rage? Is one is, there's a verse, I think it's in Ephesians 4, says, don't let the sun go down on your anger or the devil gets a foothold. So if you are an angry person and you operate that way and you live that way, you're literally giving Satan, the enemy of your soul, permission to destroy you. And, you know, if you remember from the old op order days, paragraph 2 is the mission statement, and the end of paragraph 1 is the enemy's mission statement. In John 10:10, Jesus says the thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. Jesus, in the same verse, says he comes to give you life and give it fully or abundantly. So if we're not living a successful life, not by earthly means, but by spiritual means, there's probably a spiritual issue, and Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal your joy, he'll destroy your relationships, and ultimately he wants to kill you because you're made in the image of God. Whether you believe that or not, you look like your heavenly father, your papa.
Well said, brother. Well said. We're out of time. How can listeners learn more or plug into Warrior Set Free?
Just look up Warrior Set Free. We have YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You get on the webpage, you'll see me telling stories about what we do and a little bit of teaching. And I'm looking forward to connecting with any listener you got, Denny. That'd be awesome.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for joining us. I'm glad we're friends.
Me too, brother.
Next, we'll be reviewing last weekend's Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's football season, towards the end of it, and it's time for football co-host Quentin Roberts and me to review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Boy, this was a good one, since Army and Air Force both played and both won. Good weekend, right, Quentin?
Oh, Denny, you know, this is two weekends in a row where our Service Academy teams have played excellent football, and it's always good to cheer on their victories as Army and Air Force roll to a victory.
Yes, sir. They're both looking good. Army did really well against the University of Massachusetts, 44-7. That's impressive anywhere, anytime.
Well, Denny, you know, again, the Black Knights are playing some of their best football of the year. As you're right, in an away game, they absolutely pounded the University of Massachusetts. Now, the University of Massachusetts, their record dropped to 1-11 on the season, while Army improved to 5-6, and in their next game, in fact, we'll be playing for a potential bowl berth if they're able to win that. But they were led by quarterback Tyler, who had an afternoon to remember, rushing for 3 touchdowns and 101 yards in the first half, leading the Black Knights to a dominating 44-7 win over the University of Massachusetts Minutemen. Tyler punched in scores from 27, 4-1 yard out to pace the Black Knights offense. UMass received the opening kickoff, marked 75 yards on 9 plays, and they capped it off with a 2-yard touchdown run. But that was going to be the end of the scoring for the Minutemen as the Black Knights just proceeded to roll from there. Kobe Buchanan opened the scoring for Army with a 10-yard run in the first quarter. Then it was Tyler in the second quarter as he scored his 3 touchdowns to take a 28-7 lead into the half. Then in the fourth quarter, it was more Army. Jacoby Buchanan with another touchdown. Quinn Moretzky had a 20-yard field goal. And Bryson Daly topped off the scoring with a 55-yard gallop for the Black Knights. So it was a tremendous, tremendous game on the defensive side. They stifled the Minutemen, forcing a fumble and two punts after that opening drive. Again, the defense just really played lights out. So hats off to the Black Knights for another strong victory as they, again, are playing their best football of the season. And boy, this is the time of the year that you want it.
That's true, because the next game Army has is sort of an important one.
I wonder who that's against. I have to check the schedule. I'll get back with you.
All I can say is beat Navy, and we'll go on from that. Air Force did mighty well against San Diego State. Low scoring, but hey, if you win by 10, that's a win, isn't it?
You know what, Danny? It really, this year has been the story. The story has been the Air Force Falcon defense. I mean, they are ranked in the top five in the country. And while the offense, how do you win a 13-3 game against San Diego State? Well, when you hold them to 187 yards of total offense, minus one rushing yard and 188 passing yards, that's how you win a 13-3 defense battle. And on top of that, it was a record-breaking night for senior running back Brad Roberts. He was voted as the offensive player of the year in the Mountain West Conference. Congratulations to him as he led Air Force this year to a 9-3 overall victory and 5-3 in the Mountain West. But it was the victory over San Diego State 13-3, where he broke all sorts of records that he'd already set. 35 times did he tote the rock for a career high 187 yards and his school record 10th game over 100 yards this season. He set school season records for most yards rushing at 1,612, most carries at 308, and will be remembered as a true Air Force legend. The Falcons held the Aztecs scoreless in the first half to take a 7-0 lead into the locker room. Air Force got its second score in the third quarter off of a San Diego State fumble capped by a 30-yard field goal by Matthew DePore. On the opening drive of the second half, the Aztecs botched a snap deep in their own territory. Defensive lineman Peyton Zadroik pounced on the ball at the San Diego State 13. Air Force tacked on another field goal in the fourth quarter, and the Falcons chewed up 6 minutes off the clock, driving 54 yards down the field, ending with a 32-yard field goal with 9:03 to play. Again, the defense held San Diego State to only 187 yards and forced three turnovers. And the Falcons defense held San Diego State to minus 1 yard rushing, which is the fewest allowed in a game since 2002. So again, another very strong victory for the Air Force Fighting Falcons as they move to 9-3 on the year, 5-3 in the Mountain West Conference.
Yes, to make an understatement, they done good.
They done good, Danny. I was really hoping that they did accomplish the goal of winning the Commander-in-Chief's trophy again this year, but did not win the Mountain West Conference, even though they still posted a very strong season. And so, you know what? Sometimes you fall short of all of your goals, but I think they represented themselves very, very well.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Quentin Roberts about Service Academy football. Okay, next week there are no games. A week from next week, Army plays Navy. That's the most important game in the whole world from my perspective. And Air Force will be in a bowl somewhere, and if Army beats Navy, they probably will be in a bowl.
Well, that's true. Like? Winning six games is what you need to qualify for a bowl. Army is 5-6, and so if they do beat Navy, chances are they will be going to a bowl game. Air Force projections, right now have them in either the Military Bowl or the New Mexico Bowl. We'll have to stay tuned to find out exactly where they go. But rest assured, it's been well-deserved. And they are going to represent themselves and the Air Force in the very best manner possible.
Yes, sir. And the bowl games right now are, all that I know about, are scheduled for Saturday, the 17th of December. So that's the week after the Army-Navy game.
That's right, Danny. So, you know, hopefully we'll find out that information soon.
Yes, sir. That means Service Academy football is not over, but
not yet.
next week, you get a break to get ready for cheering for the last 2 weeks of games. And boy, all I can say is I'm breathing hard and feeling good and just delighted to see the Service Academy teams doing so well at the end of the season.
Well, Danny, and I'm looking forward to breaking down that Army-Navy game. I tell you what, again, both teams are playing their best football of the season. They have roller coaster seasons, but I think that Army-Navy game is going to be a dandy. You're going to want to tune in for it.
It isn't. I will be there. That's a family event.
All right, Quentin, thank you
for your insights. Thanks for being part of the team. We'll be back to cover Army-Navy. And my final comment has to be, beat Navy.
I say go Air Force, beat Army and beat Navy.
Unfortunately, they did. Unfortunately, from my perspective, congratulations, though, Air Force, for doing that. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll learn about the National Military Fraternity. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com, or you can comment on Facebook. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show an Air Force vet who is the National Education Director for Mu Beta Phi, a military fraternity. I didn't even know about the fraternity till recently. It's something we all should know about. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
Michael, tell us about your time in the Air Force. When and why did you join? What'd you do?
I joined the Air Force at 21 years old. I just wanted to get away from the little country town I grew up in Mississippi. I joined November 19, 1997, and I became a weapons loader. And I went from California, Edwards Air Force Base, to Aviano, Italy, before my time was cut short, active duty, to come home and take care of my father. Father had cancer, and it was hard for me to keep going back and forth from Italy back to Detroit to take care of him. So I got a hardship discharge. And that, at that point, I missed it so much. So I joined the Air National Guard in Michigan. And I did Air National Guard from 2001 to 2012, leaving Michigan in 2003, going to the 187th Fighter Wing in Montgomery, Alabama.
So you enjoyed it? You had a good time?
I loved it.
And it certainly showed you a little bit more of the world than you would have found if you'd stayed home, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Italy was beautiful. California was great. But the National Guard is where I learned my job and my skills. And I got really good at what I was doing.
Okay. And so what'd you do when you got out?
When I got out, I worked for Nissan North America for a while I was in. But when I got out of the military, I started working for the Department of Veteran Affairs. I started out in the mailroom, of all places, and I moved from the mailroom to voucher examiner. So now I work in the department where we pay non-VA claims. If a veteran goes to an outside provider, the claims get sent to us, and we process those payments to the hospital so our veterans won't have to deal with stuff getting put on their credit and not having their bills paid we take real good care of our veterans.
That's got to be a job that gives you satisfaction.
Yes, sir, it does. I was just so happy to join this team to do what I do. And it was opportunities for me to leave, and I decided to stay. This is very important to me.
Hey, what more can you ask than that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mu Beta Pi, military fraternity. How did you learn about it? What does it do? What do you do?
I learned about Mu Beta Pi through a friend. She had joined a military sorority, and I didn't know anything about them either. And at first, I'm like, I don't know about this. Then she told me the mission, which is always taking care of veterans in the local communities. So I'm like, okay, I'm interested. Let me hear more. So actually, our founder called me personally. Our founder, Gary Adams, called me personally and told me about it. And at that point, I knew I had to join. The mission of Mu Beta Phi is, like I said, to take care of our veterans and local communities and do everything we can to get our veterans, homeless veterans, off the street.
That's a noble and worthy cause. I don't know how anybody could not appreciate that. So it's a national fraternity. People all over the nation can join, right?
Yes, sir. It's a national fraternity. We do have chapters all around the country. Actually, we're international now. We have chapters popping up overseas now, which is great. So we are reaching a broader reach of our military members who can join our organization.
Well, that's an amazing thing. And it certainly is something that people need to know about. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Air Force vet Mike Griffin about the National Military Fraternity. Okay. What specifically they do? If I were to join now, what would they give me the opportunity to do? What could they do for me?
Well, the way I look at it is we provide, when members of the military get out the military, the transition can be kind of hard. And while you're still in the military, you know, you might run into some issues where you just don't know what to do. What we provide for our military members and our veterans is a place where you can come and be around like-minded people and still give back to your brothers and sisters in the armed forces. So we do a lot of community service, a lot of community service, where we give our coat drives, we give food, we have a youth program now. It's been around and we reinstating that and got that running like it's supposed to, where we're teaching the kids the importance of school and teamwork. Because our main thing is community service and giving back to our local veteran communities. And it just gives you that satisfaction of still providing for your brothers and sisters in arms, even after you got out as a veteran or while you're still in, you know, the National Guard, active duty, reserves. We take those guys and we just, like I said, we give back to the community and do our best to rectify homeless veterans.
Okay. So basically, if I was looking for somebody, if I was just looking for a place to have some fellowship with other people who shared my values as a veteran, and or if I had needs, and or if I wanted to help veterans who had needs, the fraternity is the place to go. Am I reading this right?
You are reading it perfectly. Yes, sir. Even with my job as the education director, my job as the education director is to not only provide education opportunities that I find for our members, but also to the veterans and the military members that we have around the world. There's a lot of programs out that most military or veterans don't know about. My job is to find them and get the information out.
Now, is this education kind of thing to sort of help me get ahead in life? Is it skills that get me a better job, another job?
All of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above. I look at stuff like in Coursera. Well, let's look at LinkedIn, for example. As a veteran, you can get a premier account with LinkedIn and LinkedIn Learning. LinkedIn Learning has opportunities where you can go in and take skill courses to better your resume, to pick up a skill that you might have a degree in something that you want to just add to. Coursera has stuff in there. LinkedIn has stuff. And my job is to go find that. And if I get questions about what can I do about this or how can I better myself in this career, I will do the research for that veteran or that military member. And I get them the answers that they need.
Wow, that's got to be awesome. We're about out of time, Michael. What are the key points you want everybody to take from our discussion today? What key things do you want everybody to remember?
Well, for one, MuBeta 5 Military Fraternity Incorporated is a military brotherhood of like-minded men. And we are here to uplift each other and provide for our brothers and sisters in arms.
Okay. How can listeners plug in? How can they learn more? How can they join?
Well, you can go to our website at www.mbphikings2017.org. That's pretty much mbphikings2017.org. We have a Facebook page. Just go to MuBeta 5 Military Fraternity Incorporated. And if you like, you can always contact me personally through my email, which is muphigrav@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to provide all the information that you need.
Michael, that's awesome. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. Thank you for what you're doing now. This is awesome. Thank you, friend.
Yes, sir. It's an honor, sir. Thank you for your time.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at ptsdlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your range are ready, then stand at ease. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Pete, an Army Special Ops vet, really appreciated General Boykin's discussion about manhood. Men really do have to step up.
Pete, you are 100% right. We do.
And General Boykin, he's the man to do it, that's for sure.
He's done it over and over again. That guy has. He's amazing.
And Sam is the son of an Army vet, and he really likes the Battle of the Month. Please keep it up.
Sam, thank you. We plan to have a Battle of the Month well into our future shows. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, on 6 December 1941, the day before Pearl Harbor would be attacked, President Roosevelt, convinced on the basis of intelligence reports that the Japanese fleet was headed for Thailand, not the U.S., telegraphed Japanese Emperor Hirohito with the request that, quote, for the sake of humanity, the emperor intervene to prevent further death and destruction in the world, unquote. Meanwhile, 600 miles northwest of Hawaii, Admiral Yamamoto, commander of the Japanese fleet, announced to his men, "The rise or fall of the empire depends upon this battle. Everyone will do his duty with utmost efforts." Thailand was a bluff. Pearl Harbor in Hawaii was confirmed as a Japanese target after the Japanese consul in Hawaii had reported to Tokyo that a significant portion of the U.S. Pacific fleet would be anchored in the harbor as sitting ducks.
And the next day, on December 7th, 1941, at 7:55 a.m. Hawaii time, a Japanese dive bomber bearing the red symbol of the rising sun of Japan on its wings appeared out of the clouds above the island of Oahu. A swarm of 360 Japanese warplanes followed, descending on the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor in a ferocious assault. The surprise attack struck a critical blow against the U.S. Pacific Fleet and drew the United States irrevocably into World War II. With diplomatic negotiations with Japan breaking down, President Franklin Roosevelt and his advisors knew that an imminent Japanese attack was probable, but nothing had been done to increase the security at the important base at Pearl Harbor. No one dreamed that there might be an attack there. At 7:02 a.m., two radio operators spotted a large group of aircraft in flight towards the island from the north, but with a flight of B-17s expected from the U.S. at that time, but from another direction. They were told not to sound the alarm. Thus, the Japanese air assault came as a devastating surprise to the naval base. Much of the Pacific Fleet was rendered useless. Five of eight battleships, three destroyers, and seven other ships were sunk or badly damaged, and more than 200 aircraft were destroyed. A total of 2,400 Americans were killed, and 1,200 were wounded, many while valiantly attempting to repulse the attack. Japan's losses were some 30 planes, five midget submarines, and fewer than 100 men. Fortunately for the U.S., all three Pacific Fleet carriers were out at sea on training maneuvers.
Thank God for that. It wasn't very neighborly of them, now was it?
You know, I never thought of it that way, Skip.
Well, it's a small world, Colonel. We're all neighbors.
It is.
And on 8 December 1941, as America's Pacific Fleet lay in ruins at Pearl Harbor, President Franklin Roosevelt requested and received a declaration of war against Japan. Leaning heavily on the arm of his son, James, a Marine captain, FDR walked haltingly into the House of Representatives at noon to request a declaration of war from the House and address the nation via radio. Yesterday, the president proclaimed December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people, in their righteous might, will win through to absolute victory. Roosevelt's 10-minute speech, ending with an oath, "So help us God," was greeted in the House by thunderous applause and stamping of feet. Within 1 hour, the president had his declaration of war. FDR signed the declaration at 4:10 p.m., wearing a black armband to symbolize mourning for those lost at Pearl Harbor.
And on 5 December 1964, the first Medal of Honor was awarded for action in Vietnam to Captain Roger Donlin for his heroic actions earlier that year. Donlin and his Special Forces team were maintaining Camp Nam Dong, a mountain outpost near the borders of both Laos and North Vietnam. Just before 2 a.m. at 6 July 1964, hordes of Viet Cong attacked the camp. He was shot in the stomach, but Donlin stuffed a handkerchief into the wound, tightened his belt, and kept fighting. He was wounded three more times, but continued fighting and refused medical attention. 154 Viet Cong were killed during that battle. Two Americans died, seven wounded. Over 50 South Vietnamese soldiers and Hmong mercenaries were also killed. Donlin then allowed himself to be evacuated. In a White House ceremony with Donlin's nine surviving team members watching, President Lyndon Johnson presented him with the Medal of Honor for, quote, "conspicuous gallantry, extraordinary heroism, and intrepidity at the risk of his own life above and beyond the call of duty." Donlin, justifiably proud of his team, told the president, "The medal belongs to them, too."
We need more men like that, Colonel.
Yes, we do.
And on 8 December 1966, the International Red Cross announced in Geneva that North Vietnam had rejected a proposal by President Johnson for a resolution of the prisoner of war situation. He had proposed a joint discussion of fair treatment and possible exchange of war captives held by both sides. The International Red Cross submitted the proposal to the North Vietnamese officials in July after Johnson first broached the plan on July 20 at a news conference. No solution was reached on the issue until the Paris Peace Accords were signed in January 1973. By the terms of the accords, all U.S. prisoners were to be released by the following March.
I knew several prisoners who were held by the North Vietnamese, and they were treated horribly. Well, that's military history for today. Skip, now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, after her boyfriend physically assaulted her earlier in the day, a woman returned to their shared home to gather her belongings and retrieve her three young children, police said. A female friend accompanied her for support. When they arrived, the boyfriend argued with the woman, then assaulted her again. She saw that he was armed, so she drew her own gun and exchanged fire with him in self-defense. The woman, her friend, and the boyfriend were all injured, but the three children weren't harmed, police said. The boyfriend faces several felony charges, including being a felon in possession of a firearm.
Thanks, Colonel. Thankfully, this woman survived the altercation along with her children and her female friend. But I have to tell you that she's not a very smart hero. Let's take a look at what she did wrong and how she could have handled it better. First, she was living with a violent felon. Either she didn't know he was a felon, or that fact didn't bother her. If the former is true, then she needs to use better judgment when choosing a mate. If the latter is true, then that speaks to her own lack of character. Either way, by living with a convicted felon, she not only endangered herself, but also her three children and her friend. That doesn't mean that felons never improve. It simply means that this man was still dangerous, and the mother of three kids needs to make better choices for the sake of her children who depend on her. Second, the boyfriend physically assaulted her earlier in the day, but she chose to come back. That's a really bad idea. Never mind the fact that she left her three kids alone with a violent felon for several hours, which was probably her worst indiscretion, but she decided to come back for more with insufficient reinforcements. She should have taken the kids with her when she left, or, at the very least, called the police and had them accompany her while she gathered her children and her things. Third, she got in a gunfight in the same home as her three small children. Thank God none of them were shot. Anytime you start shooting inside a home, you have to be very careful about what is beyond your target. And when two people are shooting, the odds of hitting innocent children gets even higher. This woman is not a role model for other women to follow. She made a string of bad choices, which culminated in her getting attacked and forcing her to use her firearm to protect herself. Even a sliver of common sense could have prevented this shootout from happening. Ladies, if you're living with an abusive person, especially with children, it's very important that you get away and stay away. Be smart and leave when he's not home to avoid an altercation. Put your emotions, even your love for him, on hold long enough to get away, and then get some counseling to find out why you make these kinds of mistakes. Nevertheless, this woman survived, and Frontlines of Freedom hopes she makes some changes in her life so she never ends up in this situation again. And we wish the violent felon all the best as he takes up residence in his new gated community.
Yeah, I hope he's in that gated community for a long time. That was a horrible situation. I hope people are learning from that. Our movie of the month is Words of Wisdom from Admiral McRaven. It's amazing. You want to watch it. Go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month. I'd appreciate getting your comments about them. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. You're going to like this. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Kurt Keela from Keela Tactical. They know how to attack armored vehicles. Then we'll discuss the amazing novel Red Chaos with author Ed Fuller. Joe Guerrillo will then discuss his great children's books, Great Battles for Boys. And we'll review this weekend's Service Academy football games. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. It would make a great Christmas gift. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans. And if you like books for gifts, my book, Smiling Ranger, is available on our website and at Amazon, too.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.